This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Bill Ford, Tough Studio, hour number 4. I will say before we move on with things, 888-808-1019 is the number. Cap in the back made a photo of me. Put gray hair on my head.
Okay.
I got to tell you, if that's me at 70-ish, that's not awful.
Not
it
bad.
It ain't great, but it's a little eye-opening, I would say that.
I also think the photo they tweeted, a happy birthday message, I feel like they made your face fatter.
No, I think that was my face at the time, actually.
But why'd they choose that one?
What? So I don't know if you're aware of this, but when I have done some shows here from time to time, I'm not sure who runs the social media. They have chosen the worst photo of me to post that I'm on air at this time. Like when I did that show at Rutgers, I've done some Saturday shows from time to time to make up some of these vacation days that I have to take. It's the one of me in the devil shirt where I look like a fool, and that's what they post. So you want to know why they take a bad photo and use it? They think they're hilarious. And it is. It's funny.
I think they do it on purpose.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know why? Because they want to be on the air and they're not on the air.
Oh, so. I don't know about it. You think Tom Izzo wants to be on the air?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I don't know about it. I think Izzo is more, you know, the way that he caught your attention was the songs that he was sending in, like your favorite hockey ones.
Air, yes.
Yeah, but that's different than wanting to be a talk show host. Like, he wants to be like a creative type of person doing bits and skits and songs, as opposed to a lot of our part-timers that want to do their own show.
True.
And I don't know Cap all that well, but I can't imagine he wants to do shows. I don't know that he doesn't. But he's very good at what he does with the social media.
You know, those guys are back there, you know, creating these different things, taking shots at us. We all know what's going on around here. Come on.
They do take shots at us.
They do.
And no one more than Eddie, though.
He loves
his magical fingers.
that's part of his shtick, and he knows it, and we know it.
Of course.
So I just wanted to get an update from Stephen from CBS Sports Network as to whether or not he talked to Chris. So, Stephen, what happened with Chris? What did he say?
He said he's sorry. My bad.
Don't say my bad. Boomer hates that.
My bad.
My bad. Just say my bad.
How old is Chris?
24.
Yeah, he needs to be slapped around a little bit.
Wow. He's very good at what he does.
No, he isn't.
He just didn't know. Is it your birthday or my birthday?
Well, don't tell me something's coming and then it doesn't show
up. Well, that's on Al's fault. That's Al's fault.
It's like not covering first base. Somebody has to be held accountable.
I understand, but Al's the one that told you that there was going to be salmon, not Steven or Chris.
I think Al is trying to take credit for letting Steven know that, yes, it is salmon. And Steven was trying to tell Al that we know that Boomer likes the salmon. And obviously, Chris didn't get the memo.
As a boss, what bothers you more? Would you say someone... how should I say? Someone that makes a mistake unintended.
Yeah.
But it could be a big mistake.
It happens.
Or someone that just lazily takes the job for granted but shows up every day.
I would say the biggest issue that I would have with somebody is that when they make a mistake that they don't learn from it.
Okay. So you give them the benefit of that.
Sometimes, I'll put somebody in a position that they may not be qualified for. And then they have to learn on the job, and they have to be self-starters, and then you have to try to guide them to where you would like them to get to. And one thing that I will say that I'm proud of over the years, that most situations, 95% of those situations, that person that has been asked to do that particular job, and then some, because it's a nonprofit, mm-hmm. you know, they so you have to do more.
Yep.
I have a lot of, and I've had a lot of really good self-starters, people who are generally competitive and are going to go after an opportunity. And that's something that I think that I can sniff out pretty good.
So fair to say that today was a learning experience for Chris and that it will not happen again. Is that fair?
Yeah, but, you know, I think so. There has to be some accountability. So Chris is 24, and, you know, obviously maybe put him in timeout or something, I guess. I don't know. Or, you know, dock him 2 weeks' pay.
We're not docking him anything.
Something
yet.
Like that, just to make sure it sticks, that he just can't get away with saying, my bad.
You just said, as long as they learn from the mistake, that you're good with
well,
it.
Well, they got to feel the pain a little bit.
I think he is, as a matter of fact. Right. He just got called out by Boomer.
All right.
I think he's feeling the pain.
You suck! But you know what I mean, though. I mean, in all honesty, it's somebody who has to, account that he should never, ever make that mistake again.
And I don't think he will. And when your birthday comes up, you will have salmon all over your face.
Yeah, okay.
You'll have plenty of salmon.
But I know, like when you told me this morning that Zucker's wanted to do this for us to celebrate the
tournament.
The tournament basically. And everything else, I thought this was great. I thought we were going to get a full-on spread.
I mean, they got you bagels, they got you cream cheese, butter, a flavored cream cheese, breakfast sandwiches. You make it seem like they sent over a loaf of bread and a can of tuna.
It's not the same.
And said, happy birthday. I mean, God.
I mean, Al was so giddy that he and Steven had spoken about this and then seemed to be very disappointed and walked away from me as he was telling me that there was no salmon, just so you know that.
Well, I helped you empty the bags, and then you said, well, where's the locks? Yeah. I don't see them.
And then
I slowly eased my way out.
And what did he do? He went and counted out 9 almonds.
That's exactly what he did.
I know. I'm well aware what he did. I sat there and watched it. And then he sits there one at a time, and he chews it slowly because it's 9 almonds.
They're cashews. I bite them in half.
You know,
make them last longer.
If you didn't listen to us when we opened the show this morning, I was very annoyed, embarrassed, disgusted about the Ranger performance last night. And then when you had told me prior to the show, I think actually, my anger kind of dissipated a little bit, thinking that I had something coming a little bit later on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it shows up, and it's not exactly what I thought it was going to be. Right, so well, then it annoyed me even further.
I understand. Chris, thank you. I appreciate it. Don't let it happen again. Get the big fellow's breakfast order right. Next time, we'll be all good. And you were, just to kind of circle back to, I mean, we've been all over the map this morning with the hockey and the football and even some of the baseball. I will say, though, just in terms of you, you know, people around here have said you should do a hockey podcast.
Yes.
You were, I mean, fired up. Once you got going, it was actually hard to get a word in. And I think you said embarrassed. I think disgusted is the right word.
Well, for us as fans, I think we're disgusted because we expected so much more out of these players, especially the high-priced ones. And, you know, I was a high-priced player once myself. And so I know that other side of it is frustrating for the players. So I usually defer to some of that feeling from their side, but this has been a team that's been up and down. The general manager's trying to change the locker room dynamics, brings in JT Miller. Everybody is really happy with that. Everybody knows the future's going to be bright with him leading the team, reuniting him with his best buddy, Vincent Trocheck, both from, I think, Pittsburgh, and both are really good friends, and neither one showed what we needed to see last night from another team that was desperate because they got hammered the night before.
And very similar in the way of schedule and in where they are in the other conference.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. It's basically a tier 3 team.
Yep.
That's basically what it is. If the Knicks are a tier 2 team in the NBA, the Rangers are a tier 3, they're not tier 4, but mm-hmm. they're a tier 3 team where they can win any night, they can beat anybody, but then they also can look bad like that last night. And last night was Yeah, disgusted. I would say that's probably the word that most fans would take out of that game.
All right, and then the other thing is really something that's kind of recent. When CeeLo was in here, he was talking about the Vikings basically telling teams they are not looking to sign Aaron Rodgers. So with that having been said, I feel like that's been one of the pieces of the puzzle that is now gone. So now you've got, I would think, you're talking about the Steelers, the Giants, retirement. As you sit here today now, does that admission from the Vikings or the people reporting that, does that change your mind or do you think differently as to what he may or may not do?
I think we talked about this either yesterday or 2 days ago about how there's no way that Kevin O'Connell is going to want Aaron Rodgers in that building. There's just no way.
But there was the sentiment that he wanted Minnesota. I mean, there are people that believed. I mean, Brett Favre is out there on the air saying, go to Minnesota. You will love it there.
Yeah, but you know what? You've got to take into account the head coach, and the head coach has a lot of sway in that building.
Okay.
He's been a very successful head coach, got more than you could have ever expected out of Sam Darnold, and I think he really wants J.J. McCarthy to be the starter, and I guess he feels like he's mature and he's ready to go. He knows him better than we do. So I think they're going to look for another backup of some sort of, they would have liked to have kept Daniel Jones, but it was interesting. If Daniel Jones thought that he had a chance to start in Minnesota, he would have stayed there.
Right.
But he left to go to Indianapolis because Indianapolis said, hey, you're going to have a chance to start. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with Anthony Richardson, who at times was okay last year and other times really did struggle.
He needs to grow up a lot. Hey, let's go to Nicole in New Jersey. Nicole, what's happening?
Jerry Rello.
Hi, Nick.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
My best friend in my head.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice.
I hope you have a wonderful day. Can I talk about the crazy thing real quick?
Yes, please.
The C word doesn't really bother me. Now I'll be 43 next in May. Okay, doesn't really bother me. I think as a woman, maybe of my age, it feels refreshing to yell it out, especially when driving.
Wow,
and cathartic. I know my stepmother was mortified the time my father used it in the car, and I just sat in the back and laughed. But it's not something that offends me. But as far as crazy, I did work with a girl years ago, and she had made the comment, you never call a crazy person crazy because they're going to go crazy on you.
Well, yes, but I don't think in this case you're ever calling them crazy because we think they're, like, clinically crazy. It's just it's a word. Okay. Wow.
Right. Well, and that's a good point, too, because I think as you age, you realize, like, mental health is serious. And you have to be careful. That's one of the words that you do have to be careful with. So I totally get that.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for the birthday wishes.
Yeah, very
and you
nice
enjoy as well, Nicole.
Yes,
thank you.
Of course. Yes.
Thanks.
I would say that, you know, the age of the women that you were talking about were in their 20s.
They were. Well, Nicole's 43, though.
Yeah, I know that. But what I'm saying is that those people are definitely influenced by everything on social media.
Okay.
Everything. They're watching TikToks. They're watching Instagram. They're looking at X. They're looking at videos. And they're watching people screaming back and forth at each other. You know, how many fights do you see on social media that are real fights out in the streets? And you hear the commentary from the person watching
it. Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, you know. So that generation is definitely impacted by all of that. Maybe Nicole's a little bit older, so she wasn't nearly as impacted when she was younger.
Well, I will tell you, I did get a text from a mutual friend of my wife and I.
Yeah.
And she said the same thing. As she's gotten older, the one word doesn't mean so much. She don't care. But the crazy is a problem.
Maybe that's something to do
it's
with
changed.
Maybe that's something to do with menopause.
It could. I don't know. But I don't think Nicole's going through menopause. Nick in Smithtown. What's up, Nick?
What's going on, boys?
All right, Nicky, what's happening, brother?
Nothing much. The Rangers are just like me, just like you, a boomer. I'm a little frustrated with them. My theory is that we gotta stop getting rid of our captains. There's gotta be a leadership in the room. I don't think it's coming from anybody in that locker room right now. I mean, Trouba is somebody that would get in somebody's face and tell them what's going on and hold them accountable. And with Kreider, I know he's been there the longest. I don't think he's that guy who's going to really step up and take charge. Panarin only plays offense, as we all know. And Trocheck, I can see that happening. That could be the next one. And Fox is a little too quiet for me. I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, it could be JT Miller. You know, that guy is an edgy player. He certainly has it. He's been here before. I think the fans do really like him. I think that most of the players, the interesting thing Do the players in the locker room respect him? Do all of them respect him and his attitude? That's really what it comes down to. You want a quiet leader that people respect on the team.
Probably the biggest thing.
And usually that player plays in all facets of the game. So if it's a defenseman like Victor Hedman, he's going to be out on the ice for 25 minutes. And he's going to be on the power play, the penalty kill. He's going to be out there 5-on-5. He's going to be out there in crunch time. He's going to be out there trying to shut down the other team's best player at the end of the game. I mean, so you need a player like that. And there's really nobody on defense right now that fits that mold. And the only guys on offense that may fit that mold are JT Miller and Vincent Trocheck. It was supposed to be Alexei Lafreniere. He was supposed to grow into that. And maybe he still will because he has a contract that will keep him here for the next 6 years, I guess. But at the end of the day, you know, that guy signed a big contract for him, and the production just has not been there.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
We were talking yesterday on the podcast, Chris, Bill Fortuff Studio, Boomer and Geo, that it's so hard to find like music like this these days because, you know, while K-Rock still plays it on the HD2, we don't really have a station. Excuse me, what was this? What was that? I'm sorry, what did you say? Were you saying something?
Nothing, no.
No, I think I heard the word, this sucks. Is that what you just said?
No, I didn't say that.
Could you guys help me out, what'd he say?
Yeah, I was asking who was. I said Linkin Park is what he said, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's what you said.
Who is this?
It's actually a really good song, but
okay,
anyway.
Great. What were you telling
me? I'm sorry, it's not Led Zeppelin or Les Zeppelin, like you like to go watch.
Oh, I love Les
but
Zeppelin.
It's a really good new song by a band that's trying to, you know, whatever.
Find themselves, whatever, yeah.
But not find themselves, and their lead singer committed suicide 5 years ago.
Okay,
so they have a new lead singer.
I feel really bad about it.
And they've released an album, and there are a few tracks that are really good.
Good, I'm glad you like them.
And
that's why I was asking
but you interrupted.
Who they were.
I know, but you interrupted. I heard what you said.
I wasn't interrupting
on my birthday.
You.
You're ripping one of my favorite bands.
By the way, I go on and I talk, and you guys are talking behind me. You're talking, you know, around me, and I got to stay
are
focused.
Are we? When? When are we doing that?
You did that last break.
We did?
What?
Yeah, you guys are yapping about something in my ear while I'm trying to do a live read and trying to be a professional.
I can't lap in your ear.
Yes.
Lap? What did I just say?
Yap.
Let me run around
so
your ear.
You definitely don't want to lap in his ear, Jerry.
Oh, never mind. The moment's
lap,
lost.
Lap his
now,
ear.
What did you say on the podcast?
Nothing. Well, Chris, good morning. Yeah, how are you?
You don't want to finish your point
there? Nah, the moment's lost. All right. It's over.
The day is lost.
Boomer ruined it.
We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. So just a little, there's like evolving updates on this Vikings
situation. I just told Boomer, like Diana Rossini just tweeted
that. Okay, so you did that.
No decision's been made then.
That's what I mean. Like,
I'm so
it almost seems like this is like a posturing situation between the Vikings and Rodgers now. I know you've talked about Kevin O'Connell.
Oh, can you get Aaron Rodgers on?
Yeah, this whole at this time, at this moment, like, it seems like the door might not be fully closed.
I was just telling Jerry that if they did not want J.J. McCarthy or didn't think that he was going to be good enough to be a starting quarterback, why wouldn't have Daniel Jones stayed there?
Don't know. Maybe Daniel Jones decided, well, between J.J. McCarthy and Anthony Richardson, at least Richardson's already had some time in the league. He's gotten banged up a little bit, and he figures that's more of a down-the-road situation, whereas McCarthy we haven't seen yet.
So Diana Rossini basically is reporting what?
The Vikings have strongly considered and will continue to monitor Aaron Rodgers as an option, but not ready to commit at this point in the offseason.
Okay, so she's saying that it's not like they closed the door, but the other insider basically said it doesn't look like they're moving on.
Yeah.
With J.J. McCarthy as the starter. So this, we have insider against insider crime.
Well, that was the word like an hour and change ago, and now Diana Rossini's sort of adding the next layer to that, or maybe has a different version of it. So, yeah, this is one of those you got to decide which insider you stand with. But she said they understand this could lead to Rodgers signing elsewhere or retiring. J.J. McCarthy's spring will be the key, is what she said.
Maybe I'm lost here, which would not be the first time, second time, or tenth time. But if you're the Giants,
yes.
I mean, is the writing not all? Just sign who you want then. Like, enough with the Aaron Rodgers. He's not coming here.
Right. So then it's Jameis or Russell Wilson.
Like, why don't you just go sign the guy that you want then? Because it seems like they both would like the Giants. I mean, the reports about Russell Wilson wanting the Giants. So why don't you just make a decision and get on with your offseason?
Well, maybe they will now that this word is out about Rodgers.
He just gave me the glare he gave Al before without the Sam.
Now, too.
I mean, you know.
You're the one that played, so that's why we're asking you. You would know the inner workings of this.
I have said a million times that if I were Aaron Rodgers and I was thinking about 1 year and 1 year only, then I would go to Minnesota. If I was thinking I wanted to play a couple more years, then I would think Pittsburgh.
So not
and,
the Giants.
And, yeah. and right. the other way that I would come to the Giants is because I liked living in my house in New Jersey.
I guess.
He had a really nice place in New Jersey.
Okay, he's got a really nice place in Malibu, too. So, I mean, just
and that's why I think he was hoping that Matthew Stafford would have left. And sure. He would have definitely
gone to LA.
I think he definitely would have went with Sean McVay and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, he's got plenty of money, so he doesn't have to sell the place in New Jersey, even if he plays a year or two in Pittsburgh or Minnesota or wherever.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Like, that whole Matthew Stafford situation really did it basically screwed up a couple teams, I think, their hopes for who they thought their quarterback
Giants
was
Giants being one
be.
Of them.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sean McVay wanted Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams to be together because he was really pitching Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, watching the Stafford, his wife's podcast, before he went back to L.A., she sure made it sound like they were pissed with the Rams and they were done and ready to move on.
Well, this had the whole thing with Cooper Kupp that you were talking about. Like, so Cooper Kupp ends up signing with Seattle. It's kind of his hometown team. You know, he went to Eastern Washington and everything else. And, you know, when guys like this end up splitting up and, you know, and family members or friends, you know, they just got to get over it. It's a business.
Kind of like Mika and Kreider.
Right, but it's a business. Like, you know, the whole thing with the 49ers and the drama surrounding the wives and everything, and he's getting cut, and that one's getting cut, and this one's putting out an Instagram post, and that one's saying this. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You referencing the Juszczyk situation?
Yeah, but now he's going back to the 49ers.
Yeah. I saw.
All right, let's get to some uplifting, positive
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, please.
Joint press conferences or press conference for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins with the Bengals yesterday, and I played that clip earlier about 1 and 1A.
Yeah.
Chase interrupting one of my former guys, who's a reporter there in Cincinnati now. Anyway, Higgins eventually answering on that whole distinction situation.
You know, bro, I don't even look at it like that. You know what I mean? I kind of wish they wouldn't have put it out there like that. So, because now it's. That's why everybody's saying the highest paid two.
The highest paid two, of course, is what he's referring to there. The second part of that answer.
Let's just say I'm at a place where, you know, they value me and, you know, they respect me. And I'm a good player. So let's just say that.
And I didn't realize
By the way, he's a really humble guy.
Yes.
And he wanted to stay there.
I didn't realize this about him. I'll play this.
He wanted to stay there. He wanted to be there. Didn't want to go anywhere else. And it's unfortunate that he would have gotten a lot more.
Yeah,
money.
Sure. As a one instead of a two,
because he would have been the number one free agent on the market.
Yeah.
Man, I grew up a Bengals fan. To have the opportunity to sign a 4-year deal with my favorite team that I grew up watching is. I mean, that's a dream come true.
That's pretty cool. And then on the other side with Chase, here he was talking about what he likes most about Cincinnati.
I like Cincinnati because it gives me the opportunity to come here and focus. You know, I'm not distracted out here. It's not too many things to get me, you know, off pace.
It's boring, pretty much.
I'm not in New York. I'm not in L.A. Right. You know, I'm in a place where there's nothing to do.
Sure. And there is one area, though, where he feels they need a little improvement.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, the food's not the best. We could work on that, but... I'm from New Orleans. I'm not used to the food yet.
It's different.
They got great restaurants out there. My buddy Jeff Ruby owns a bunch of them. They are great restaurants. It is a really nice place to live.
Yeah, but for him, very different than coming from New Orleans.
Yeah, so. Of course it is. And yeah. I would just say Northern Kentucky, Southwestern Ohio, beautiful places to live. Really is.
Very nice. Speaking of food issues, Keon Coleman with Complex Sports talking about his rookie year with the Bills and Josh Allen doing what he could to develop that wide receiver quarterback relationship.
So the first time he invited me to dinner at his place, I don't even know what this was. The woman cooked. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children book. You know, like the little children books they give you. Like, that's what that looked like. I said, man, what is this, bro?
He's an interesting dude. You've seen some colorful stuff from him since he's come into the league.
What do you call it? Jesus's bread?
So the first time he invited me to dinner at his place, I don't even know what this was the woman cooked. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children books. You know, like the little children books they give you. Like, that's what that looked like. I said, man, what is this, bro?
A little children's book.
Yeah, the story of the loaves and the fishes.
Yeah. I like the fact that he referenced the children's books.
Yeah.
As if it was just in that and not in the Bible as well. But that's kind of
funny. And it was his... chef. Was it Josh Allen chef?
And he said the woman, I don't know if it was
woman,
chef,
probably
or,
a chef
or his now fiance. I'm not sure.
She's an actress, right?
Yeah. Haley Steinfeld. Am I speaking of
Al? That's right.
Yes. I look for Al for confirmation.
Yeah. Well, he knows. He's on top of that stuff.
I need to confirm Deuce McBride. We don't go to Al, but right. Haley Steinfeld. He's got that. He's on top of that.
And he's all over the Belichick girlfriend. Oh, you see the stuff on the beach the other day?
Oh, yes.
Did you guys discuss that in the morning?
Yeah. The acrobatic. Yep.
What is going on with Bill Belichick? Did you see those photos?
I did.
He's 72 years old, lying on his back with his feet up in the air, balancing a 24-year-old female. Like, what? Would you have ever, if I would have told you that 5 years ago, you would have said what?
Ick.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reality we're living in now.
One last football-related cut for you here. Shannon and Ocho, Nightcap Podcast, and Shannon explaining a very simple reason why he had so much success on game days.
Practice was harder than the game for me.
Always.
So let me get this right. A guy that's seen me every day, he can't cover me. You think you're going to watch film for 3 days and bring your ass in here and shut me down?
Absolutely not.
I'm cooking with Crisco. Please.
I like that. It makes sense. Right? I mean, they see their own defense.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah. But, like, I never thought of it that way. You know, you think of practice as just sort of like the ramp up and the game.
The way they practice today.
Intensity, you know?
That's why the lead up to those 3 hours on Sunday were so important.
Uh-huh. Got to do your homework, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. I want to get to this dog rant. So, it was actually from Friday, but it went out yesterday. Of course, Funhouse found it, posted it,
right,
and it went everywhere. So his son Colin and his radio partner down at West Palm Beach.
And to be clear, Chris, this went on for like 20 minutes, right?
18 and a half.
Yeah.
It was like basically an entire segment.
Yeah.
Leading into the top of the hour where the back time bed plays. He was wrapping up the said rant. Anyway, so his son and his radio partner, they go to Port St. Lucie to check out the Mets. They have no producer, so they're just grinding, a couple of young kids, you know, small radio station. And Colin, acting as the producer, reached out to Mets PR very politely to request a guest or two for their remote show. Standard procedure. They're on 4 to 6 weekday afternoons, and here's how that request went.
You got a show there in the ballpark promoting the Mets and freaking baseball, and here's the response from the Mets. Hey, Colin, understand the ask, but we can't make that happen. Their schedules are full for the rest of the day. Go to hell.
All right.
Wow.
So he's not happy. He's sticking up for his son. He's like, look, they're not asking.
Like LeBron James sticking up for Brian. Wow.
And he did multiple times acknowledge. He goes, I get it. I sound like, you know,
wow,
Stephen A. and
LeBron.
Like LeBron. I sound
like James.
He did.
Me.
He said that like 4 times. So self-awareness.
Hopefully Stephen A. Smith doesn't take issues with Colin.
Well, perhaps he will.
Jesus.
That's a hell of a point.
Well, Stephen A. and Colin, they had something
tremendous
a few months back. It was playful. I forget what that was.
Yeah, but Stephen A. and LeBron and Bronny was not playful.
Yes, I get that.
And this is a little, it's not exactly the same thing, but
it sounds like, though. You know how many other radio shows that have probably gone down there and have not gotten a guest?
Yeah.
But he's fighting and killing the Mets because he's trying to protect his son.
Which I
think he's doing the same thing.
You would do the same for your son.
I'll have to do that for my son.
Okay. Well, if you
my
were
son
in
can
that
stand on his
situation.
Own
okay. Anyway.
Next clip.
His point is, they're not asking for Lindor or Soto or Alonzo. Just Alonzo, throw them a bone.
Paul Blackburn, come over here for a second. Do me a favor, give him 5 minutes. This is Paul Blackburn, who you couldn't pick out of a lineup. Out of a lineup. And Blackburn's an ex-A, and Colin would love that. Oh, it drives me crazy. And this is why I am going to root. I don't care what Christie says. This is the reason why I'm going to root like hell for the Mets to lose every freaking game.
So first it was the Yankees, now
anyway,
it's the Mets as well. So he's going to hate both New York teams. What was the excuse here, he wondered?
We're all too busy 3 hours before a spring training game in Port St. Louis. Too busy doing what, hitting 8 irons? I mean, come on, please. Give me a freaking break. No wonder I can't stand the Mets.
All right, last one, and I think you might relate with it because you were ready to fire Chris from CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, that's true.
Last hour, and Dog says he wouldn't stand for this if this was his employee.
I'll tell you right now, that person would not be working for me. I would not allow that person to work for my, and I have an organization. I got this one. That person would not work for me under those circumstances.
Yeah, he's really mad.
He was 18 and a half minutes, yeah.
Well, it's his son.
I know, but I thought it was going to be more playful than
man,
that.
I thought LeBron was going to kill Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I mean, and you're allowed to have an opinion. If your son is out there, he should be able to stand on his own 2 feet.
And a pro.
Now, he also said that his son was going to kill him for doing this whole rant, that he didn't, you know, son didn't ask him to go on his radio show and stick up for him. Or ask him to phone in a favor with the Mets.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of sons, did you see LeVar Ball? Is that his name? LeVar?
Yeah, the Ball family.
Yeah. He lost his, he had his leg foot amputated.
It was going to have been maybe diabetes related or
is
something.
Is that what it was? I don't know. I just saw the story the other day. I didn't have a chance to
blood
look at it.
Blood clots or something. Yeah.
He has a little
terrible.
A couple toes. Then they cut off my foot. Then they say we got to go almost knee high for another surgery. And at the same time, they're doing them blood transfusions. I don't like them. Now, having an infection, but also not paying attention to diabetes.
Yeah, there you're
right.
Go.
That's a strong thing.
Yeah. That was via Slam Raw.
Damn.
Not sure what that is.
And didn't Dion lose toes?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And yeah. But that wasn't diabetes.
I'm not sure what that was, but there's a high incidence of diabetes in the black community.
I didn't know that. I think that's
one of the things he's trying to do there is a PSA to let everybody know, man, this is serious. This is not a joke, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ugly, crazy. Frustrating 2-1 home loss for the Rangers last night against the Calgary Flames. It was Mika Zibanejad afterwards.
I think it's the whole game. It's the whole game. It's not just that second period. Even the third period, I'm disappointed. We don't have a better push than that. But, it's not good enough.
A lot of soft-spoken frustration.
You know,
I
got an article from last night. You know, Rasmus Anderson, he's the defenseman.
Yeah, he likes to run his mouth a little
right,
bit.
Right, I guess he and JT Miller got into it last
JT
night.
JT Miller, Trocheck, Shesterkin was right. Barking so, at him a little bit.
So after the game last night, he says that the reason that the Flames were able to win was because the Rangers didn't want to play hockey. They were more concerned about going after him. That's what he said.
That way a little
but
bit.
But that's what he said.
Sure. Well, John Gianon in between the benches was referencing some of the back and forth they were getting into there. He and Shesterkin at one point, as going to a commercial break, it looked like Anderson was yelling to Igor, "You're not worth it." So he's trying to get in his head a little bit. Now Shesterkin is the only guy that actually played well
for
the Rangers last night. So, yeah. Anyway.
Rasmus Anderson.
Well, his team won, so he can talk the talk and walk the walk, apparently.
Probably scare the living crap out of every one of our defenders.
Islanders with four unanswered in Pittsburgh to beat the Penguins 4-2. The Nets lost to the Celtics. Boston completing the home-and-home sweep there. You got the Knicks in San Antonio tonight against the Spurs. All right, let's get to moment of the day. It's a little bit of a mix here of Al and Jerry noises, which began with Eddie playing one coming out of a commercial break, a little rejoin situation.
I.
It's 8:05. Bill Ford, Tub Studio, the Boomer and Geo program. That was Al, correct, Eddie?
Doing, I don't even know what noises he was making.
Anyhow.
We know that to me is my favorite one because how that came out of your mouth.
That's what I was going to go to.
That came out of my mouth because I was not sure if I was going to say something, so I was turning my mic on as I was starting to talk.
It doesn't even sound like a human sound. Which
then Eddie also amplified it, you know, separated
it. Oh, details. Details,
and
details.
Isolated it. That's the, well, this is what he does.
Oh.
You talk about weird noises heard on this program. You want to take a stab at who that is?
Him.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Me?
Is that me?
That's you.
That's me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That one, too.
That sounds like me. Play it one more time.
The first one? Would you like the full context, Jerry? It's only 8 seconds.
Sure. Never a good thing when you got to read something. I'm worried about nuts down my throat. You imagine? Like,
there you go, fellas. Home of the day.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much. We will see you tomorrow.
We're getting through hump day here, guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You go to one of these colleges. They ask you to speak in front of the, you know, the broadcasting class or something. What do you guys do? Goes over well with the listener.
Makes stupid noises.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Boy. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you very much.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 10. It is nice to have you with us. We'll get you to BT and Sal on the radio side coming up in just a couple of minutes. Bill Fortub Studio, Boomer and Geo. So I saw Cooper Kupp yesterday, and he was talking about returning to Seattle. Not that he ever played there before, but he grew up in the area in Yakima. and he grew up a Seahawks fan. And as he was talking about it, he was mentioning how cool and how different football is, and football is about the memories. And, you know, we always joke about, you know, Al's memory about 1980 sports where he really was into it. And as he's gotten older, not so much. But it made me think how when I grew up, Sundays were as sacred could get. It was always Pop Warner. It was church, Pop Warner football. And then it was in front of the TV watching the NFL every day. Mm-hmm. And I started to think about, and it's very two come to mind so fast, like the most memorable like NFL Sundays that I can think of or remember. And I'm going to ask you guys to come up with one, too. For me, it's two. Obviously, it's Dwight Clark in the end zone. There's no question about it. I remember where I was, how I was watching it as an 8-year-old kid.
Oh, and that was a crushing defeat.
It was. And what people always forget about that is there was 50 seconds on the clock. The Cowboys had the ball, almost had a touchdown pass. I think it was Drew Pearson. It might have been Tony Hill. I don't remember. Gets pulled down from behind. But they get into almost field goal range, and then the bad snap, and yes, they fumble the ball away. But anyway, so Dwight Clark, I remember like it was yesterday. And the other one, oddly enough, has nothing to do with the Cowboys, Jets, or Giants. It was Ernest Biner fumbling the ball in Denver at the goal line. Yeah. And it just, it made me think, as Cooper Kupp was talking about like NFL memories, the ones that just stand out in your head. I'll ask you guys. I know you watched it when you were kids. Are there one or two that stand out immediately?
For me, trying to think as a kid, that the Biner one was a big one for me because I had never felt bad for an athlete before. Like I went out and got that guy's jersey.
Wow.
After that, because I actually felt bad for the guy. But I had one when I was a little older with when the Buccaneers, when they had never won a game in the cold. And it was Bucs-Eagles playoffs the year they ended up going to their first Super Bowl with Rondé Barber picked the ball off for a pick six. And I remember feeling this, like, elation.
Like they got the first win over 32 degrees or under 32 degrees or something.
Yes, this is it, yeah.
How about that? Eddie?
Oh, the Sea of Hands game is a very clear, vivid, painful memory for me. After the 75... season. No, 74 season.
I feel like it should be familiar. Remind me. I don't. That does
Raiders,
not ring a
Dolphins
bell.
Divisional playoff.
Okay.
You know, Stabler's being tackled and he kind of flips the ball to Clarence Davis.
Oh,
in the
okay.
end zone.
Interesting.
That's this through a sea of hands. That's why they call it that.
Got it. And I know you played, but.
Yeah, when you were a kid, I was outside playing.
You telling me you didn't watch the NFL at all when you were a kid?
I did. You know, my dad was a huge Giant fan, and they were not very good when I was a kid. Those were the dark ages.
No, I'm aware. I mean, that's...
And the Jets actually took over the city in 69 when I was 8 years old. I kind of remember that. I do remember the Franco Harris catch off the ground. I do kind of remember that. I remember a Lynn Swann catch down the sideline in a Super Bowl. You know, those kind of moments, yeah. Regular season moments, I don't necessarily know. No.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, you also lived it. So, I mean, Bob Dwyer might have moments that he remembers where he was that involve you, which is kind of cool, actually. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like my nephew does.
Oh, I'm sure.
My nephew Randy does. And, you know, he's obviously still a huge Bengals fan because of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, it's a... I don't know. It's like it's weird. I mean, I was a huge fan of football in general, and like I told you, Burt Jones was like one of my heroes growing up. That's why I wore the number 7. That him and Rod Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember really getting totally ingrained in all of it, as opposed to being outside playing it.
Yeah, I mean, I played it too. I was playing Pop Warner at the time, and I loved it. But it was you sat there in front of the TV on Sundays, just the way we do even now. It's like Sunday is the NFL. It's kind of what it is.
Well, the whole week is the NFL now. The whole year is
the whole year
NFL,
has become
which
the NFL.
Which is really incredible. So this year's NFL draft is going to be in Green Bay.
Mm.
This is part and parcel of what the NFL, like Cleveland's trying to do this. Cleveland is trying to build a dome about a mile outside of the city of Cleveland because they can't seem to get the political will to support a new stadium in the city of Cleveland. I don't blame them because they just built a new one. It felt like maybe 20 years ago.
Right.
So now the Haslams, who are the owners, want to invest, according to all reports, $2 billion of their own dollars to build a dome stadium and community. and they want to host the NFL draft one day.
Well, the one that was one of the coolest scenes I've ever seen, and I'm not a draft person, it doesn't excite me, but when they were in Nashville, man, was that something.
That was great.
Having been there and seen what that strip is like on a Saturday night, and then to see how the NFL basically took it over, and just a sea of humanity watching, guys get drafted. It was really something.
Trying to think where else. I think
Philly was pretty cool, I believe.
Philly is good. I mean, you could do that in Indianapolis. Remember the Super Bowl in Indianapolis?
I didn't go to one there. You guys did.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. It turned out to be beautiful winter weather. It was clear the whole week, and you could go outside and walk around. And Indianapolis is a very small city.
Right.
Very walkable city.
Yeah.
You could do something there as well, and they do have the combine there. Now they're talking about moving the combine around.
Why not? Spread it out. The draft was here forever, and they've been very successful moving that around.
I think when they built the dome out there, the Lucas Oil Dome, whatever it's called.
Lucas Oil Stadium. Yeah.
Right. I do believe that they built it with the combine in mind.
That it would be there every year in March.
That it was something that was basically going to stay there, and they built this building, and they built it so people that go to the combine, the doctors, the teams, the coaches, the GMs, could walk to and from the building, and all the building would have all the essentials that were needed to do interviews, to do medical diagnoses, all the electronics that were needed to measure all the guys, and it would really be disappointing to Indianapolis, I'm sure, if they moved it.
All right, last one for you, because we're running out of time, and I did see this. I mean, as if our heads aren't spinning already with the quarterback situation.
Yes.
This was from your guy, Adam Schefter. I saw him on with Rich Eisen yesterday. He floated out this concept, idea. What if the Falcons are hoping to trade Kirk Cousins back to Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't see that.
Even with
happening.
What we heard today about the Aaron Rodgers stuff, you don't think there's any life to that?
No, because to me, Kevin O'Connell wants J.J. McCarthy to be his starter.
But it would be to be a backup.
Kirk Cousins wants to go somewhere where he wants to be, at least have an opportunity to be the starter.
Hmm.
And those places are dwindling now.
Yeah, well, that's why we keep talking about the Giants.
I wonder if Kirk Cousins could get to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers ain't going there, maybe they trade him there. His point was Atlanta won't release him. They want to trade him if they're going to do anything to get something back for
him.
Right,
and the money that they supposedly gave him now, I think, is attached to next year's contract.
Okay.
So eventually he's going to get the money, but I don't think it has any impact on them right now in terms of having to write a check, as I understand it, and maybe getting draft picks and maybe eating part of the salary. Then all of a sudden, maybe Atlanta gets two draft picks for Kirk Cousins around the draft. So when we get closer to the draft, just like we did with Aaron Rodgers when he was being traded from Green Bay to the Jets, if you remember leading up to that, it was like, don't worry about it. He'll be traded before the draft. And if you remember, we had Joe Douglas at Boomer
GO1. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And he said, he's coming. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. But it was going to happen before the draft. So that may be the same case with Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons.